As we begin this day's thoughts, we have to understand that we have completely jumped ship from where we were last week. So over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about how our gospel lesson has been bopping back and forth from the beginning of Mark to the middle of Mark to the beginning of Mark to the middle of Mark. And now we've completely left Mark behind, and we've jumped into John, an entirely different narrative. In fact, if we were to read this same story in Mark, it would happen in the week leading up to Christ's crucifixion. That's when Mark and Luke and Matthew all talk about Jesus clearing the temple is when he has arrived in Jerusalem in the week of his crucifixion. But in John, it happens in chapter 2. Right after the wedding at Cana, which if you remember is where Jesus performs his first miracle of turning water into wine in the Gospel of John. So we have changed radically where we are hearing this tale from, the perspective that it is told from, and the setting in which it comes from where we were last week. We're not just bopping back and forth between the beginning and the middle of a story. We are now in a whole other tale about the same person and the same events, but told in a radically different way. So, with that being said, we have to understand Jesus' context and conversation here in the story in which it is told. And at the same time, we understand it in the greater narrative of faith and of what it means to be church. So, there's our premise for where we begin. Jesus' clearing of the temple is one where we hear Jesus doing things. If you remember your grass, right? Last week we added a cross for take up your cross and follow me. We had a rock in here before, which mine is hidden by this luxurious growth that we have. But we had a rock for our wilderness. We have our cross for take up our cross. This week you might find one of these in your bag. It's my little twine whip, right? Because this is what we hear Jesus doing. This is the part I know for a lot of us that sticks out the most is that Jesus took a rope and fashioned it into a whip and started driving out the cattle and the sheep and the cows and the people and flipping over tables and pouring out money. And what we hear a lot of times is we hear Jesus as being very angry, right? I can't imagine a peaceful Jesus with a whip in his hand, right? So we hear it and we think, man, Jesus is like, he's pretty angry right now. He came to the temple and he's just started like shoving people around and flipping over tables. And I have to say, just like last week with the whole take up your cross and follow me, and I said, this is not what it has been used as to tell people that they need to remain in abusive relationships or things like that. Jesus taking up a whip and clearing out the temple is not something that I would say condones violent action in the name of justice. Okay? I don't see Jesus here saying that it's okay to injure or harm or be violent in the name of justice. So we need to take that context out because that's how it's been used when we steal texts from their context, we do bad things with them. And that's one of the bad things that has been done with Jesus and his whip and this conversation of clearing the temple is people of every background have used it to say, well, see, Jesus flips over tables, Jesus is violent, it's okay. Jesus is making a very clear proclamation about what the church, the temple, is and is not. The institution of the temple required, had an entire place set up for people to purchase their sacrifices, their cows, their sheep, their doves, to change money from wherever they may have been coming from into the coin that they needed to make sacrifice in the temple. This is how the temple was set from the time that the temple was instituted. It was supposed to run like this. What Jesus is doing is he's saying, that's not how this needs to happen anymore. That's not how this goes. You don't have to make these sacrifices to be a part of what God is doing. You don't have to buy your way in to God. These barriers of sacrificial cows, of doves and money, these are not here anymore. Because God is here. And that's when they ask him, you know, what sign can you show us for doing these things? They weren't even necessarily, when you hear it, right? The flipping of tables, the angry sending out of all the people. The Jewish authorities, they're like, okay, so that just happened. Why? What's the point? How do you have the authority to do this? And he says, listen, you tear down this temple, and in 3 days, I'll build it back up. They're like, do you know how long it has taken us to make this thing? 46 years. And we wouldn't have even gotten it done in 46 years except the government subsidized our building of this temple. True story. Rome helped build the temple. Okay. So 46 years it's taken them to build the temple with government subsidies and taxes, lots and lots of taxes, that have broken the backs of all of the people who have lived in Jerusalem and Israel. And Jesus says it's not necessary. The way that we set up barriers for people to gain access to God, it doesn't need to be anymore. Because in 3 days, we can build it back up again. And they're like, oh, yeah, I don't understand that. And the thing is that with John, right, with the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus already foretelling way back in chapter 2 of his gospel, right, of death and resurrection, which is why it fits so perfectly into Lent, because in John, Jesus has that foreshadowing from the very beginning. And we hear at the end of this tale, right, that the disciples, after his death and resurrection, the disciples remember what he says way back at the beginning, and they believe. What does it say for us here and now? I gotta tell you, in this last year, I know we have struggled mightily with not being able to gather together, not being able to be here worshiping God in this space and in this time with one another, with seeing one another, and with hearing God's word proclaimed in real time with us. I know that the loss of community that we have felt, the loss of tradition and of place, has been really, really hard. And I don't discount that. And I don't think Jesus is in any way saying that the worshiping community is not necessary. What I hear him saying is that the things that keep us from God, those are not necessary. The rituals and traditions that would set other people apart, would say that they are not worthy to be here, that they can't pay the tax, if you will, to get to God's presence in the temple, it's not necessary because God is abiding with us where we are. And I think that is the good news for us in this time and place, is that God is with us where we are. If our health keeps us from gathering together, if a pandemic keeps us from gathering together, if distance or time or anything else keeps us from being here together, that doesn't mean that God is not with us. That doesn't mean that God's presence doesn't fill the space where we are. So this week, when we think of Jesus and this whip of cords that drives everything out of the temple grounds, I want you to think of it not as angry Jesus flipping tables and saying, you know, that organized religion is all bad or that Jews are evil. That's not what he's saying. Instead, I want you to hear it as Jesus saying, nothing is going to keep you from God. Nothing is going to keep you from God's presence because God is with you. God is here now in this place and in this time, and you are welcome and loved here and now. So, hear that. Understand that you are God's beloved. And that even when you cannot be in this place, that God is still with you. That God still loves you and calls you, and you are not alone. Thanks be to God.